It's been a while, but we're back at Swinging Through Spider-Man. Each week, we read a Spider-Man comic for the very first time. I'm James, and I'm joined by a very poorly Bradley.
Yo, still not right.
Still you dying. Don't sound it, mate.
I thought 1 week of illness is bad. A second week of no internet is worse. I couldn't let everyone down for a third and final week. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to grab the nearest pillow. If I need to cough, if I need to sneeze, it's going straight into that bad boy.
You know what's the worst thing about being ill? It's like how you take normal health for granted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I've been at work just whistling through my nose because I can't breathe properly. Just really admiring all the times that I just enjoyed breath.
Like... yeah, when I was on the train last winter, when I had what you had, it's like that month-long illness. Like, just it's somewhere in between the flu and the cold. It's very powerful, but it's not serious enough to be like influenza. Like, you're out of it.
You're saying that, but last week I did have like major dizzy spells. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, you had vertigo as well, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the vertigo is caused by the flu. It's fucking terrible.
It's very punishing, and like we've taken the piss out of Spider-Man for like swinging around, like, and when he's ill and he's swinging around, and we say, "Oh, you're fucking Spider-Man! Like illness doesn't affect you. Just get a grip." And you're like, "We can't get a grip normally when we're ill."
So imagine all that snot running inside your mask.
Oh, it's disgusting. But Brad, it's been a while, so we got to kind of catch up, but I'm still feeling like I don't know much about it. You summed it up really quickly and really well, actually, before the podcast. Basically, there's this stone tablet. There's a protest at the university about low-rent dorms. It all kicked off because the Kingpin used that as a cover to nick the stone tablet from the university. Spider-Man, of course, was involved. There was a little bit of a fracas. Spider-Man ended up beating up the Kingpin, taking the stone tablet and riding on home, but not before the police had arrested the Kingpin and tried to take down Spider-Man for being in cahoots with the Kingpin.
Yeah, you're missing out the very vital fact that as soon as Spider-Man took the tablet off the Kingpin, he went outside to be like, "Yo, fellas, I got the tablet. You can have it." And just like a policeman was just like, "Shoot first, questions later," and just starts completely filling the wall that Spider-Man was stuck to with lead.
Now, bam, 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 bam. There was a lot of guns in that last one. I think, was that the one where Spider-Man threw the web dummy through the window and they unleashed?
It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, Brad, but we're at issue 70. If you can believe it, of The Amazing Spider-Man, the Stone Tablet saga continues with the Kingpin behind bars. So let's get into the creator details. It's Stan Lee, of course, the man who's the author. John, quote-unquote, Ring-a-ding Romita, who's the innovator, which is a very, very fluid role.
I was about to say, that's a very... I would call that floater.
That's when you get the producer tag for just paying for the film. Whereas Jim Madman Mooney was the illustrator, and Sammy, and this is boring, Sammy Rosie Rosen is the letterer.
Rosie Rosen.
Yeah, I was like, come on.
There's nothing about Sammy.
Nah. Like, most people are rosy. Like, Rosie's just like, you can drink like 3 glasses of wine and be rosy.
Mate, with all these block sinuses right now, I'm as rosy as the fucking cum.
But Brad, mate, without any pissing around, I'm going to get into it because this is quite a funny one.
All right.
There's a lot of funny things here to laugh at. And the first thing is that the Kingpin is the main man suffering for his crimes. His gang have been locked up. He's been locked up, but he's been stuck straight behind the bars, mate.
Didn't even get chance of bail.
he didn't. There's no custody, no courtroom. He's just been slammed straight in the clink, in the common man's clink as well.
To be fair, at what point of like famous criminal do you need to be in order to be like, right, that's it, you go straight to jail? Like they'd look the vulture up and down and go, maybe.
You can just do press ups in the fucking courtyard and piss off after like 3 months.
They just take the wings off him and he's like, no! They give me oath. Whereas the Kingpin, they take one look at him and he's just like, straight to the cell with you.
Yeah, you don't, like, it's like the Crime Master, that original bloke who tried to get all the gangs together before they went, oh, we kind of got rid of that story beat far too early by killing him in the second issue he was in, and he was pretty cool. So we need a new guy to get all the gangs together and be serious, because the enforcers are gone, the big man's gone. And it's just the Kingpin now. And the Kingpin, how get rid of the big man?
The enforcers may be gone, but they're still deep within my heart.
Do you know that clapping monkey toy? Imagine a Fancy Dan version of that, but it's his feet clapping together like judo feet.
I know what I want for Christmas.
Can we get that made? Is there anywhere we can put an order in for that?
Custom made Fancy Dan clapping monkey toy.
Yeah, can you make this F-list comic book villain?
F-list, you know.
Like, serious, if like Iron Man's started before the MCU, like Iron Man was C-list, you know. So you've got to go quite a bit back to get to F.
Got to get right through that alphabet, right through the lexicon.
Like if Spider-Man was an A, because he's all, you know, he's always going to be an A, and you get like, I don't even know who would be a B. Like, who would be a fucking B? Like, and this is going back like 19 years. Who would be a B?
I don't know, man.
I mean, if you grouped them all together, Batman would probably be a B.
I guess so.
Because Spider-Man is the biggest one. There is no question. I don't know. This is gonna be a controversial debate if we carry on. We're gonna get fucking slammed.
Just complete hate. More one stars.
Well, Brad, I'm gonna jump back into the podcast. Speaking of hate,
yeah.
Speaking of hate, the Kingpin is in a jail cell next to his cronies, and because they feel that the Kingpin's powerless, they're like taking the piss out of him. And if you remember in the last issue, they were talking about his wife, weren't they? And he went mental. Yeah, you fucking what? You fucking bring up Vanessa. Vanessa! I want that. What?
Oh, mate. Imagine, like, think about it. He also handled about 11 guys, so that's a lot of guys with Biff.
Oh, yeah, and they're in the cell next to him just saying, you know, oh, look at like, little Kingpin.
But it's like, this reminds me of like every single video where they see like some fucking stupid twat like putting the hands in it, the target cage, and say like, oh, look at him, look, oh, he's so cute behind bars, like, and then they instantly get their fingernails ripped off.
This doesn't end well, and he's really riling up the Kingpin, this guy. He goes, oh, you thought you were a big man, pulling me down just because I mentioned your fucking wife.
My wife, your wife, I did your wife.
I remember, do you know GTA Vice City? Do you know it's got the cam-like citizen lines? And there's only like four of them. So yeah, you constantly hear it. It's like, I did your wife, you bald prick. I remember having to play that game on silent. I turned up the music just to hear, like, turned up the volume on the TV just to hear the noise. So I had this little TV at the back of my nan's living room, and we'd all crowd around it to get away from the main TV. It's the only TV you could plug a PlayStation in. It's tiny little one, this PS2. And I turned up the volume right on this CRT fucking TV. It just went straight to 100, and just all that come out. My granddad's watching Countdown, and this is a guy, right, who hated like WWE because it was so flashy and people wearing skin tight clothes. And all you hear is, "I did your wife, you bald prick." The loudest possible thing I've ever heard.
Oh shit. It's like completely throwing out the speakers and that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the speakers did not work after that. I cannot believe like my dad let me play Vice City at like age. Must have been 8.
But it was that era when no one knew that games weren't for kids. It's just like, oh, games and comics are for kids. Just leave
it. Yeah, it's not like it's going to make you like violent or shoot anyone, but it's like you probably shouldn't be. You cannot handle the process of content of Vice City at age 8.
Oh, you really can't. You don't even know what the 80s was to enjoy the 80s nostalgia.
Yeah, even if you were like an 8, if you were like 8 in the 80s and Vice City somehow happened to come out at like in like 88, you wouldn't fucking understand it. I don't know where that was going.
I think it's because this guy was ribbing the Kingpin's wife again.
But there's a really funny panel I want to draw you to. And it's the last panel as the Kingpin sulking in rage. And he looks like Humpty Dumpty. So this is page two, folks. If you're reading along, page two of The Amazing Spider-Man Volume 1, issue 70. That bottom panel is fantastic.
It's absolutely incredible. It's like Kingpin's bottom lit, but it's all like monochrome other than flashes of yellow.
It looks like the moon emoji.
It fucking does, man. Geezer looks like Uncle Fester and that.
But he's grabbing onto these bars and he's got an escape plan. What he's going to do is he's going to slowly twist these bars right until they're loose. Can you just imagine the sweaty, angry Kingpin staring at you all night while he works these bars, man?
He's just pretending he's like working it like a pepper stick on his freshly made pasta.
So these guards hear this little squeaking and his hand going up and down, and I'm thinking, oh, it's not happening again, is it? They're not going at each other again, are they? It goes into the charm sound and there's a guy just stroking that, like,
let's hear it like grinding.
He's just staring at the Kingpin in the pitch black. He's just staring at them.
Still bottom lit.
Like looking like that.
I just see the whites of his eyes in the fucking shadows.
You know, we shouldn't laugh at police brutality. But if I was a policeman and I saw that, you know, you'd be going into that cell and you would be tasing him just for fun.
If just by turning the bars like that manages to get you out of the fucking cell, you know who really belongs in the fucking prison?
Who?
The guy who designed the fucking prison.
Speaking of criminals who belong in prison, Spider-Man is on the lam, Brad.
On the lam?
Yeah, does that mean on the run?
I'm imagining so. Whatever lam is.
So we got a pretty nice panel, actually.
It's quite
treat
sweet,
us to
that is.
Really
very,
nice.
Very Batman-esque if it weren't for the fucking bright blue and red.
Yeah, so he's running away with a stone tablet in hand after being shot at, which is, of course, it's put him on edge. It's put his mental state into a really fragile place. And as we know, Peter Parker, the Amazing Spider-Man, his mental state isn't always in the best place.
True. And
so
that kind of happens when you find out your parents were double spies and that your aunt is an actual wreck and could pop at any moment. And also you're the one responsible for your uncle's death. Your mental state would not be okay.
Yeah, you'd be really ticking. You'd be a ticking time bomb, really. And
the other thing is, remember last time that Peter went to go see a shrink? Yeah, turned out to be a fucking villain.
He can't trust anyone.
Literally no one. Like, it's just, I can just imagine him swinging through New York, just holding his tablet, just being like, it's me and you now, tablet. It's just us against the world.
When he goes to the pharmacy, he'd be like, can I get some Tylenol, please? And someone's going to burst out the fucking bag. I'm ready to kill him, man. This is Spider-Man's life. Nothing is simple. Tylenol, I found out, was paracetamol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go. It's a brand name, Brad. It's a brand name.
Brand paracetamol. That's nuts.
Yeah, the brand is the paracetamol. That's it. You don't get anything else.
I am shook.
Well, the police, as we know, aren't afraid to shoot at Spider-Man. So every time they see him
literally on sight.
Yeah, they're looking at him and they're firing normal shots and warning shots, so he's getting twice the amount of shots going at him.
I'm sorry, Spider, this isn't a warning shot. This one is. This one's a warning shot. No, this one's meant for you. This one's a warning shot now.
So he's got like the tablet under his arm and he's like, oh, things have got to be different now. All this shit, I'm not going to be the fool guy anymore. I'm not going to be the friendly neighbourhood fool guy. I'm going to really show what I'm about. So this cop starts like firing warning shots. He's like, what? So someone's shooting at me? Look, that's a surprise after his last 24 hours. It's a cop just like really one fist in that, like, unloading.
And you know, it's big fuck off revolver as well. So you know that fella's got some kick.
And he's like, the policeman's like apologizing while he does it. He's like, oh, give yourself up. I want to take you alive, please.
Meanwhile, he's just got his hand cannon fucking popping off in the air.
Like, bam! I'm sorry! Bam! I'm sorry! You know, an officer of the NYPD doesn't usually apologise.
Imagine if like every single like warning shot was like hitting people in like nearby buildings.
Yeah, that bullet's like, got to go somewhere.
Exactly. People are like, opening up the windows and stuff, just going like, "What's so shracking out here?" Just like dying. He's like, "Sorry." It's just like people falling like flies next to Spider-Man coming down.
It's be like New York's version of the Blitz. I was going to say they haven't had anything like that, but they have.
I just thought, would it be bad if a police officer gutted like that many people and they just started falling out of their apartments and he was just like, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies
But like, I was thinking people would react to this, but they wouldn't. Look how much shit happens in New York. Like, you had two bloody planes crashing into buildings. And not just that, it's like the gas explosions that happen like every 5 or 10 years where a whole block's taken out. This shit happens.
Mate, not to mention that there's a fucking military base in every corner.
Yeah, this is just like normal. New York is bad enough. You get Marvel New York, it's popping.
But to be fair, at what point, being an ordinary citizen, do you start getting alarmed? It's like, all right, New York's under attack. Nah.
Well, as
America's under attack. Nah. Earth's under attack.
Well, Brad, if we go back to GTA Vice City, at the same time, a game came out called Spider-Man 2. And in the canned audio of the citizens in that game, which was more family friendly, as you would imagine, you always had the one guy saying, "Geez Louise, always something in this town." And I think that perfectly sums that up.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. He's just so benign. I almost feel like, do you remember that bit in The Amazing Spider-Man with Stan Lee's cameo where he's listening to music meanwhile the Spider-Man lizard are fighting in the background? And like, yeah. Stan Lee's just going about his regular like librarian shit, but he's listening to his music so loud that you can't hear the fight in the background. Right. There's a bit of a long-winded way to get round to it to say that I almost feel as though with the way how New York is, you wouldn't even have to be listening to music in order to just get on with your shit. You just like literally be like, oh, Spider-Man's fighting a lizard again, wrecking the entire library. Just like, if it's like, you know when Doc Ock and Spider-Man are fighting in Spider-Man 2?
Yeah.
Like, the New Yorkers would still be trying to make transactions with the tellers because they're just that fucking, it's that benign now. It's that.
I think I brought up the story before of my aunt and uncle in New York, and like they're trying to cross the road, and they got really thrown out by the red light, and they stopped still, and this massive crowd moved, and he was like, "It's still on red. We can't walk." And someone went, "You're in fucking New York, man."
Yes, you have told that story before.
It happened to me as well. Like, you can't fucking stand still. I had a legitimate reason. My leg was hurting. I thought, I just need to fucking rest up this lamppost 1 minute. I've walked 9 miles today. And it's like, move, you're in fucking New York, man.
What's that movie where the geezers is like, "You're in Nam, bitches"?
I don't know.
Is it just a resident, "You're in New York, man," in New York? Like, he just goes around telling people.
Scream people.
Screaming. Like, even New Yorkers, people that are like quite clearly from New York, just screaming in the face.
Speaking of screaming, This police officer starts screaming when a Spider-Man descends from the heavens and slaps the gun square at his wrist.
You know, I almost forgot that we've got a comic to talk about.
So Spider-Man swings off and the police officer screams, "You can't escape us forever."
He just literally slaps the gun out of his hand. Like,
yeah,
fucking,
he does.
Like fucking Kobe in that. He's just like, "Get that shit out of here," like a basketball.
He's went for the 3-point conversion. I don't watch basketball. I don't know what that is. I was going to make another basketball joke, and I'm not qualified.
I was about to say that was a smart
I'm not move. Qualified. Keep that one in your lips. Spider-Man's still got this stone tablet, mate. And what he realizes is that this is really important. I've got to hide it. And I really should have thought of that, like, right away. Because I'm in a bad situation. So he goes home and locks it in his closet.
of all the places to put it.
Brad, if you had someone, if you were a fugitive when you were masked, say if you was on your bike and you didn't have a license plate and you was a fugitive and you had something really important and you got home and you hid your bike, you find your alter ego safe, but where would you hide that shit?
Clearly the closet is the first port of call. Just open that bad boy up, chuck it in, close the door, job's a good one.
Absolutely.
I feel as though under the mattress is just, it's too cliche, ain't it? You gotta go balls to the wall, open in plain sight.
Yeah, or you kind of like, I would unscrew my PlayStation and see if I could fit something in there.
I mean, you definitely can't, but you could try.
You could scoop out the innards of the PlayStation and just buy another one.
Okay. That's too much effort when you could just put it in your closet and just lock it.
Okay, yeah. Well, we've taken the mick out of Peter Parker and he's got the right idea.
Clearly, we over-engineering it, mate. That's what it is. It's over-engineered. Sometimes you just need to put that shit in your closet.
So Spider-Man, of course, Peter Parker, gets changed and he goes to bed without a worry in the world, except for the stone tablet hidden in his closet and what his aunt would do if she found out he was Spider-Man, what his girlfriend would do if she found out he's Spider-Man, what he would happen if the Kingpin put his hands on him. So yeah, he's got a...
So all the worry.
Yeah, he's got a lot of worries and he has a really awful, awful night's sleep.
This isn't a blanket. It's just made of pure solid anxiety.
Well, he wakes up in the morning and he realizes that his life is an absolute mess. The more he risks his life, as he says, the more chances I take, the less good it seems to do, because the police are shooting at him after he tried to do a good thing. So why can't he ever make things right? A few hours later, he wakes up, goes to Empire State University, where he bumps into his girlfriend and he's in a world of his own. Gwen Stacy, his girlfriend, comes up to him and says, I've been looking all over for you. Where have you been? And you have to remember that Gwen has been on the streets 2 days in a row defending his name.
Yeah, because he got called a coward and she threw hands with a geezer purely because... And then her dad was just like, well, maybe he is.
Maybe he's a fucking coward. Hurry.
How do you fucking know? We gotta see what he's really made of.
Well, Pete says he tries to get out of it. He's like, I'm okay, Gwen. I'm just a little tired, you know. And Gwen's like, it's been 2 fucking days, mate. You know, it's been hours.
mate, you're tired. It's been a whole 48 hours.
It's been ages. Like, you left me red on WhatsApp.
Them two blue ticks, man. Struggle's real.
But Gwen's on him. It's just like, according to the other kids, you should be exhausted. I get why you're exhausted, Pete, and I don't understand why. It's because you're chickening out whenever you've got to take a stand for something, apparently.
Rough.
And he's like, he knows he has to take that. He knows he has to take it.
Just for gritted teeth.
And because if he says anything, he's like, I'm Spider-Man, you know, that's where I'm going. Like, he can't say that.
See, the thing
he can't, is that, there's literally nothing he can say, Brad.
I feel as though he sleeps in the bed of the bad choices that he's made. Like, if he just organised himself a little bit better and was maybe honest with, like, a couple of people in his life, then things would be okay.
Well, he doesn't react in the best way when he's getting kind of both barrels from Gwen, should we say.
Oh, well, remember how he acted when he got called Whiter.
Oh, he's looking to the... This is worse. He's looking to the floor and he's just thinking to himself. He's monologuing. But what we have to realise is monologuing takes time. So she's just staring at him and he's just staring at the floor after that. And she says, What are you doing? I feel like I should have my head examined, but this is ridiculous. And Pete's like, oh, she does love me.
That's the weird.
The geezer doesn't even understand what planet he's on. And then she walks off crying. He's like, oh, why are you crying?
Fucking hell, Pete. Like, every week he goes from being some sort of lady killer to being an absolute fucking idiot. Like, there is no in between.
And he starts shouting. He's like, she says, "Oh, skip it. You know, I'm not losing my heart to like someone who's he's acting like a coward." And he's like, "A coward? You think I'm a coward?" Yes, we do.
She's been giving out to him, like, of everything that she could be saying to him. And he reacts to the coward bit. Mate.
He's so beautifully human.
Men, am I right?
Two men who are meeting up now to discuss their antics are Joe Robertson, who is the city editor of the Daily Bugle, and his boss, J. Jonah Jameson. Jameson's pissed off because his city editor isn't covering the story of Spider-Man, who's at large, apparently. Joe Robertson, of course, was involved in the big news story, which Jameson isn't focusing on, and that is the protest, because his son Randy was kind of one of the heads of the protest. So he's, of course, been looking after his son, and Jameson's really, like, wailing on him for not getting out and reporting on Spider-Man.
How is the Bugle still the most reputable newspaper when literally it's just like Spider-Man front page 7 days a week, 365 days a year? Like,
you can imagine Spider-Man's on the back page as well, because when the New York Jets have lost, like, there'll be a little bit at the end going, "Oh, Spider-Man distracted the quarterback as he threw the ball."
If only he had spider powers.
Sam Darnold got mononucleosis because Spider-Man wished it upon him, and that's why the New York Jets star quarterback is out for 6 months.
You're saying that, but sports fans are actually like that.
Yeah, I know.
Actually like that.
This is coming from a sports fan. I know, Brad. I understand.
It is me!
It was me all along! Speaking of Robertson's son, though, he's in a meeting with the Dean of Empire State University after the protests, and the head honcho of the protest there is Josh, the leader of it, Randy Robertson, and George Stacey's there for some reason. I guess it's because it's in the police station.
Yeah, I was about to say, they have all just got locked up, haven't they? So...
Well, he says the dean's there and he's got a statement to make. He says, "I'm pleased to announce that the trustees have just voted to convert the hall into a low rent dorm for needy students." And Josh says, "Oh, we fucking won then." And then some geezer across the table screams, "It's a hollow victory. The dean was on the side all the time." And then protesters are like, "What were you to fucking meet us then? What did you say? So anything, like literally anything?" Like, so, one thing.
Mr. Dean's just there. He's like, "Well, it's good for publicity. It got people to come to the university."
He's like, "I'm not blameless. I thought, you know, I don't know. Really? Funny. Funny."
The old bloke with a mustache on the opposite side of the table just shrugging his shoulders.
What really happens is he says, I'm not blameless. I thought the students should be seen and not heard, and now I realise how mistaken I was." And Josh says, he like rubs his chin and nods his head and goes, "And maybe everybody won just a little bit."
Oh, well, isn't that nice?
Speaking of winning, the kingpin has loosened them bars.
Fucking, mate, he looks at the penguin. He's got wild eyes, man. Eyebrows. Right.
Brad, you would have wild eyes if you were up all night fucking rinsing your palms off. I'm struggling out.
Mate, flared nostrils the lot, man. I've never seen so much tension in what kept in one man's face.
His £300, which is what the comic describes his weight as, the Big Show, the famous wrestler, was £383, but he was a good bit taller than the Kingpin, so that's some heft.
That is some heft.
Although 300,
I would have thought that the Kingpin would have been heavier.
I mean, I don't want to be insulting to any potential £300 listeners. Like, I've just realised this. I should be mocking the Kingpin's weight.
We're not mocking it. We're making scientific evaluations on man's lard. And muscle. He's 300 pounds of pure muscle, if that's a fact, though.
Well, speaking of the mocking, though, I've said speaking of a lot this episode. I need to get back into the swing of things. The police... So the Kingpin gets out and he starts charging down the corridor. The people, like, who are mocking him, they're like, you can't go without us. And I thought the Kingpin, when he gets out, he's going to beat him to death.
Well, that
he doesn't. He just leaves him.
I suppose that would be the just cause thing, wouldn't it? Because then they're out of the picture for good.
Yeah, but what I've got to bring you to is the lettering that his feet have, which is foom and thump.
Foom, thump, foom, thump, foom, thump.
So the guards who've got their torches are looking down a corridor going, oh, can you hear a noise in there? And he says, oh, that sounds like a hippo, but man, Brett, we aren't at the zoo.
followed by the Kingpin fucking barreling out the door. One of the guys is just like, it's the Kingpin! Oh!
And the Kingpin's like, thanks for the fucking lodgings, right? Never overstay me welcome. Here's a tip, you can.
You fucking lovely gaff you got here.
I know which one of you fucking mugs, right? Who made the joke about the hippo? Because I thought it was funny.
I don't like hippos.
I will take that. Just fucking one.
They're the most deadliest animals in the whole entire animal kingdom.
I tell you what now, you fuck with a crocodile, you might lose an arm. You fuck with a hippo, your life, it's gone.
It's gone.
Your life, not just your life, and your fucking boat as well. So you best have a fucking plan.
Where do I check out?
The Kingpin leaves bodies in his wake. The police have to phone it in. The Kingpin's escaped. Meanwhile, a naive Spider-Man is swinging around the city with the stone tablet equipped to his back, looking for a place to put it that is more safe than his closet. Unfortunately, as he's...
Mate, you know where he's not as safe as his closet?
The sky?
On his back. he's literally wearing it like a backpack, but it's only secured down with two webs. It's not even secured correctly. He's not even made a web backpack, which we know he can do in seconds. He's got it out. It's so bad.
It's not brilliant. I mean, he's on the wall, heading to this kind of hieroglyphics expert that he's kind of managed to find out about, that he can drop the stone tablet off at. As he's crawling down this wall, a spotlight hits him, and it's the fucking police.
These motherfuckers just get Spider-Man's every move somehow.
He overhears as the spotlight bears down on him. They are extra vigilant because the Kingpin has broken out and they assume that Spider-Man is in cahoots with the Kingpin. So they're like, oh, we got him. So we're going to get the Kingpin. And Spider-Man's like, wait, the Kingpin? Oh, I'll just go around and get the focus on me. I'll bring the Kingpin out because I've been looking for him. I'll knock him out.
Makes sense. That's actually smart.
Yeah, so... What he does, Brad, is he goes around the city and beats the shit out of everyone that has ever been linked to the Kingpin.
His wife is just like at the door and Spider-Man's just like, I must do this.
Unfortunately, it's not the sweet, innocent Vanessa, wife of the Kingpin. It is everyone else. Like, he's just laying hands on like every crook.
You mean he knows where these crooks are and he doesn't go, and he's not decided to do a fucking, decided to do a little bit of street sweeping thus far?
I assume what he's done is just swing around the city of New York and hit anyone who looks vaguely like a criminal.
It's pretty much the entire entirety of
the montage doesn't disprove that because it's just got him like going, it's like Batman, like the 60s Batman going boom, boom, boom. Like, boom, each montage is a punch. There's one where he's going to break a guy's neck, though. There's one where he's strangling the guy.
I like the one where he's holding the guy by the cuff of his shirt, and he just gives him a big old slap.
I don't know. My favourite one's when he's holding the guy by the neck and punching him in the kidneys.
I didn't even see that one.
The one underneath, he's just like, got to go on the sleeper hold.
It's fucking great, that one is. That is fucking excellent.
So as his hunt comes to an end, he sees like a robbery happening, and he's thinking, oh, this is an actual hijacking, so I guess I've got to stop this while I'm on my rampage. And this gang are like, oh, fuck, just like the Kingpin planned it. So it's like it's a trap that he's swinging directly into. And all these like hijackers, they drop the shit they're pretending to hijack, turn around and start like shooting at him.
Just like made out of paper mache.
Of course, he's had a full day of exercise, so he just takes him down with literally a kick.
That is swift as anything, man. It is like a double kick in one swing, isn't it?
So he says to the one vehicle that was being hijacked, you can go, and he turns to the other vehicle, and he hears a voice, and the voice says, it was never that fucking vehicle they were after, mate. And he's like, where did that come from? I'm Spider-Man. I'm a bit tired. I've had a busy day, lad. Don't fuck around with me. He looks up, and the Kingpin kicks his fucking door off his car and comes straight at him.
Excellent.
Like, I've baited you like a right bastard.
He literally boots it off its hinges, man.
Comes barreling out of that car at him, and Spider-Man jumps over and says, oh, fucking hell, you know, I've been looking for you as well. Calm down, man. You think you got the upper hand on me? I've been walloping everyone in the city to get my hands on you. The fight, Brad, is over really quickly. What Spider-Man does, he bounces in the air, calls him fat, swings into him, and kicks him to the ground, and he goes down like a sack of spuds. One kick, head off the ground, and you're waking up really dazed.
Mate, you know what it was? It's that prison food, man. It wasn't helping him.
There's no chia seeds.
You don't have your basic food groups in that. You don't have your meat, your beans, your lard. Can't count to five clearly.
I'll tell you what. Well, I fucking right full English is right. I get Vanessa with me off after the gym, and I'll tell you what the gym is about. It's me. I wake up, I run 30 seconds, I sit down, right? The gym, the full English after the gym, right? You have toast.
8 rounds.
Toast. Toast. 6 eggs. Toast. Well, the Kingpin's down on the floor. Spider-Man moves in for the final blow. But as he does, a car is coming in. And the car is it's on enough of a path with Spider-Man to make Spider-Man jump back. And he's like, who's in that car? Who's in that car? And he notices the kind of decal on the side. It says a Daily Bugle radio car. And he's like, it's a Daily Bugle. And inside the car, he's like, Ned Leeds, action reporter, I'm fucking in.
Just car that screw.
Yeah, and hanging out the window with the radio, it's like James then going, use a fucking radio, call the police.
Fucking Nightcrawler.
Straight round. And the Kingpin's just like getting up on the floor, like vomiting. You're like, oh, that's a fucking breakfast coming up there. That's a bit of fuck it up.
Wait, corn? No, I don't remember corn.
I mean, it's a bit fucking green. I didn't remember eating any fucking vegetable last night. The car comes in, and it's like, what happens here is so weird, because as the car comes in, it splits Spider-Man and the Kingpin off from each other. As that happens, another car barrels around the side to the Kingpin with the door open.
So Kingpin gets picked up out of nowhere.
Pretty much. So he turns, and this car's there. And he jumps into the car, and Spider-Man's like, oh. Who's at the wheel? It's a woman. There's a woman at the wheel. And it's Kingpin's fucking wife.
No! Fuck yeah.
He's like, just in time, my dear. Drive!
Let's get on. Get the bake off on.
There's Ned Leeds hanging out the car, staring at the Kingpin's ass as it gets in, going, oh, if only one of the photographers was here.
If only there was photographers and not the radio.
The car drives off. Spider-Man is completely caught out. He can't follow the car because it's going to be a trap, and he had the Kingpin on the rope, so he can't do anything. So what he does, he turns around to a guy that is screaming at him. Jameson's got out of the car, and Spider-Man turns around and he says, you know what? You know what? I've got a breaking point, mate.
That's it, it's done.
I've got a fucking breaking point. So Jameson screamed at him, and he's retreated behind Ned Leeds now. Like, saying, stop him, it's a banner attack. Spider-Man swings
in. Like holding Ned Leeds' arms. He's like, oh, hold me back, Ned. And Ned's like putting like literally no effort into it.
He swings in and Jameson like runs backwards. He picks Jameson up by his collar and takes him to the air, and Ned's going, "Oh, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it." He picks up fucking Jameson, starts screaming at him, going, "Oh, all this, all that. Oh, fucking, oh, I'm at my wit's end. I finally eyeball to eyeball." Jameson looks at him and he has like kind of a seizure. And then Spider-Man looks up to Ned Leeds and goes, "Oh, oh, I think something's happened to him."
Just Jameson's like fucking limp body just hanging,
and he drops him to the floor and he hears the siren, so he's like, "Oh, I've got to go, right, I'm gone." And then all he hears is Ned Leeds going, "Oh, I don't feel a pulse." He's crawling up the wall going, "Oh, he's had a heart attack. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck."
Remember when you was a sibling, for you, it would be the other way around. But for me, my bro clapped me in my fucking chops a bit too hard one time, popped my lip open. Right, so I started bleeding. And it was like, you know, that moment where you got that silence and then like it kicks in. And then like, my bro just comes up to me, grabs me. He's like, no, it's fine, don't tell mom. That's kind of how I feel like Spider-Man is at this moment.
Like, I can laugh at this now, but this horrified me for a long time. It's like exact same thing, but I pushed my brother off a slide, right? And he fell down backwards. And you see people die in the film, films of this. He fell down backwards and smashed his head off a rock.
Oh.
I was like, it wasn't that bad. He nicked his head. Like, but in films, it's bad. Like, if you see that in a film, like, the kid's dead, basically. But he fell backwards off his slide, man, and hit his head. And it was like a tiny, tiny cut, right?
Yeah.
But there was so much blood from it. Like, so much. And I thought, like, I fucking killed him. Like, and he got up and started screaming. I was like, "Oh, no, don't go in." My nan came out and I got slapped off my feet, mate. Got
beat up, man.
Just one. It was just one. Took me straight off my feet and I went, "You know what? I'm going to play my Digimon thing."
No GTA Vulnerability for you, man.
Going to let this fucking thing sort of wash right over. But no, I had to get dragged to accident emergency and sit and watch my brother get stitched up. And the cut was the tiniest thing I've ever seen. Like, it was like, I can't even describe how small it was. It was a little nick, but it just started spraying blood everywhere.
I think your bro needs to sort out his blood pressure, man.
But yeah,
rage, man.
I get what you mean, the panic that you feel, but it's worse for Spider-Man because he thinks he's killed a guy and he swung off and realises.
It's like it's a hobo. You could probably just stick him in the nearest dumpster and get on with your life, but it's fucking JJ.
And this is the thing, right? He makes a web to sit on. He's like, "Oh, I've got to calm down. I've just proven myself to be what he always said I'd be. And Brad, that's the end."
Mate, Spider-Man, it's not your fault he's got a dodgy fucking ticker. That's like it's a maniac geezer that gets fucking clapped by a taser from the police and he dies. That's not the police's fucking fault.
This is a slot. I would say, Spider-Man, you pick the guy and lift him off the fucking air. And then start screaming in his face.
It's literally like about a foot off the ground.
What is it when the Simpsons episode where it's like mocking Cape Fear and like Bart goes to sleep and he thinks the Sideshow Bob and Homer runs in going, "Happy Chainsaw and Hockey Mask!"
Yeah.
"How'd you like my new Chainsaw and Hockey Mask?" that will give you a heart attack. So Jameson's pretty valid to have a heart attack, I think. But Brad, what did you think of the issue?
It's quite a wild ride, that one was. It was a good one to get back on track with.
Yeah, Vanessa committing, that's a crime she's committed.
Yeah, but like couples that crime together, like, I can't think of a rhyme. But yeah, they ride for life, ain't it? Bunny and Clyde style.
Yeah, then they die very young.
I bet you
viciously.
I bet you they got like each other's names tattooed on their chest. Oh, I fucking love you.
What's the Kingpin's real name? Is that Darren?
Wilson.
Oh, fuck, it's Wilson Fisk, isn't it? I thought. I forgot.
I wish it was Darren.
I forgot.
Darren
I
Fisk.
I wish it was Darren.
Yo, Daz.
But yeah, I think we'll wrap it up there, Brad, and enjoy it while it lasted and jump into the next issue very soon. You can find us at Spidey Podcast. We'll keep it short and sweet. We'd love to hear off you and we'll see you soon enough. Goodbye and thank you for listening.
Peace out.